Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Well, many of us grew up with books by James Herriot, a veterinarian whose compassion and humor defined a reading generation. Now, a new adaptation of his All Creatures Great and Small series comes to Masterpiece on SDPB TV. Joining us today to talk about how the books and the characters influenced them, not only as readers, but as farmers and ranchers, we welcome Eliza Blue and SDPB's Heather Benson. Eliza, welcome back to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Heather, thanks for being here as well.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
All right, let's start with the books, because these books were given to me as a young reader, and I think they were given to you as well, or maybe you found them on your own. So let's talk about your earliest memories of coming across a James Herriot book. Eliza, tell us a story.
Well, you know, this is funny because it's so early that I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things that seems like they've always been there. So I'm actually assuming it came from my grandma, because I know she was a big fan of him. So I think somehow that filtered through. We probably had a copy at our house, and at some point I picked it up and started reading, and of course just completely fell in love.
Heather, how about you? Earliest memories.
I'm with Eliza. They feel like they've always been a part of my life. I remember that like flurry of looking for every book I could find that would tell me a story about animals, you know, starting at a very young age. And I assume this was just part of the mining of the library that I went through for years and years. And once I found them, I mean, I still have my incredibly beat up, barely recognizable as a book first copy that I actually owned of All Creatures Great and Small, which sadly I can't actually read anymore because all the pages fall out. But I know it's been around long enough to just barely have survived being part of my life.
So now at this point, they've been repackaged so many times too, and then pulled out as picture books. So for people who might have had these in their lives in later years, it's hard to tell, you know, how they've all been repackaged over time. But Heather, the basic story is what?
That this young man from Glasgow, you know, the end of the 30s, when it was hard to find a job, the only vet job he could find was in rural Yorkshire, which is akin to being in the absolute most remote county you can imagine in South Dakota. There's even today,
like Perkins County.
County, I didn't want to point fingers. But there's not much there, and it's an insular community, and it's a story of both him, you know, learning how to become a vet, because it's his first job out of school, and also learning how to become a part of that rural community and how to appreciate it's a very harsh landscape. The winters in Yorkshire are brutal. I think we all know what that's like if you haven't grown up here. And it's how you deal with all these things that are new to you and make them a part of your life. And you don't have to love animals. I mean, that's why I first read them, to appreciate the storytelling that he gives.
Right. I remember cat stories and dog stories too. They were packaged as short story collections by James Herriot. And those were actually my favorite, because as a, you know, I grew up in the country in a rural landscape, but we did not farm. And so I didn't have any of the chores that other people had growing up, which tells you something. But so I was just enchanted with, you know, anything that was cats and dogs, because that was closer to my realm of experience. I could grasp a little bit. Eliza, how about you? What resonated with you as a reader at the time that even today you look back on and say, I still get the emotions and the story itself still resonate?
Well, it is so funny, Lori. So my growing up was very suburban. And so, definitely cat and dog stories were much more the place that I was coming from. But, you know, it's funny to look back on and just think, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Was I drawn to those books because there are some part, like some, I don't know, latent farm genes that were waiting to be expressed, Or is that sort of where, was that the kernel that then turned into the love that now, you know, I live and work on a ranch, even though it's so far away from where I started. But it, those books in particular, the James Herriot books in particular, have been so interesting to reread now with, you know, the decade of experience of living in a rural area, because, you know, when as a child when I was reading them, I had no idea anything he was talking about. And now it's so fun to go back. And those stories, I mean, it's just a whole new level of appreciation, just like Heather was saying, for his experiences, because they are now really similar to my experiences. And so much of what he talks about in the books, living in this very remote rural area in a different time period, even the veterinary practices that he's talking about, and he talks about them as being like outdated even by the time he's writing the books, but like they actually aren't for us here, simply because we're far from vet care. It's not, I mean, our, the way that most of the ranchers I know operate is that they actually do a lot of their own vet care, because it's just a necessary thing. So they have a skill set. It isn't, you know, at the level of a trained veterinarian, but they are called upon to do a lot of the things that he describes doing in the book. So it's just, I don't know, it's really fascinating how much overlap there is between what he does in those books and what I think any rancher would recognize as familiar.
Yeah. Heather, one of the things I remember, and this might be a false memory because I haven't revisited these books now in preparation for today, but I remember there was, he was pragmatic, but he was compassionate. And as a young person, that's what I was drawn to, because the harshness of rural living was difficult for me. Decisions that had to be made, I was the kid in the corner who would, you know, who would be a little more sensitive. Okay, a lot more sensitive about those sort of things. And in some ways, James Herriot felt like a Mr. Rogers type character to me, where he helped me realize that some things happen and that we can survive them if we do it with kindness. Is that a totally false kind of memory of that? Talk to me a little bit, Heather, about
no,
what
I think
you see.
That's
yeah.
Super descriptive of who James Herriot was. I mean, he didn't grow up on a farm. So he had to enter this very raw, very real, you know, these are people's livelihoods and decisions are hard. But not only does he do a great job of conveying his own compassion for animals, I think he does a wonderful job of conveying what it's like to be a farmer and have to make hard decisions, but care about your animals. One of my favorite stories is an elderly farmer who has to sell his very old cow that he's had, his milk cow that he's had for a decade and a half. She's ancient by cow standards, and her udder is so saggy that the other cows are stepping on it in the barn, which obviously is not, you know, a great situation. He sells her to the knacker, the meat man. And in the story, the cow gets loose from the meat man and comes running back to the farm. And James Herriot happens to be there when she arrives back unexpectedly. And he describes that moment of the cow, the farmer, instead of, you know, taking her back to the meat man, puts her in a stall and kind of humbly says, well, maybe she can be a companion for a few calves. And because his love for the animal was too much to turn her back out. And I think that push-pull is something every stockman, every person who is in a farm, you want the best life for your animals. And sometimes you make what I say, sometimes I'm going to lose my farmer card, because you can't. Sometimes you put the cow back in the stall.
Yeah. There was an ethic to it. There was an ethic to those books that didn't shirk reality, but also was honest about humanity and husbandry and things like that. I always appreciated that. Well, there's a masterpiece adaptation. You've both watched the first in, I think it's a 7-part series. You can see it Sunday nights on SDPB TV and watch it on Passport. And what did you think? Is it close to the books? Is it taking a lot of creative license? Heather, you start.
Well, I think there, at any time you bring a new adaptation of anything that's written down, those of us close to the source material, which I'll count myself in that bucket, because I actually just reread the entire series probably 6 months ago, so I'm super in the zone, you have to take that deep breath and go, okay, this is a story that they are telling. Well, anyone who's familiar with the books especially will see there's the creative license that every new storyteller brings to the screen. I do think they've kept the heart and the emotion and the compassion of what these stories are trying to convey in there. And you cannot beat the visuals that they offer. It's a truly beautiful cinematography.
Yeah. Sumptuous landscapes on PBS there. Eliza, I'm told there's a great gate incident, though. We cannot let everyone off the hook for how they portray life. Tell me some of the things that careful South Dakota viewers might notice and talk about.
So I watched it with my husband, who is born and raised on a ranch, and we were watching, and there's one point where the head vet who James Harriet's come to work for, and he's sort of being tested out as the assistant, and they get to a gate at the farm. They, you know, he makes them go out and open the gate, but the head vet makes them go out and open the gate, and then he gets back in the car, and that's sort of like a running joke on ranches, where if you're like the rancher and you've got like your wife with you, if you're always driving and she has to get out and open the gate, and then you drive through, and then she closes the gate, and then she gets back in. And so and that's like during the courtship period, like you will open the gate as the rancher and you will not make the woman with you open the gate. That's like one of the ways you try to win her over. And so I took it as like a little bit of an inside joke, like, oh, it's funny because he's driving James, and he's making James Harriet, you know, like get out and close the gate or open the gate and then close the gate again. But they never close the gate. And Heather and I were like talking, oh, we thought it was going to be a plot twist. And it was like, oh, funny, all the animals are going to get out. That's going to be this big disaster. And it's all his fault because he didn't close the gate. And then that never happens either. So I said to my husband, I was like, but the gate is still open. They're leaving the gate open. And he just started laughing. He was like, yep, you've been on the ranch long enough now.
And I never have noticed. I was at home saying the same thing to my husband. I'm like, they left the gate open. Look, there's even a sheep on the road, because I completely lost focus of what the humans in the scene were doing. And I'm watching where the gate was, and somebody, you know, that was actually filming that episode on set probably got in trouble, because a sheep really did get out and is on the road in the background, and that was my total focus as a farmer. I'm like, they didn't shut the gate. How could they not shut the gate? And no, it wasn't even a plot twist. Nothing happened. Except for the poor crewman on set who did not actually shut the gate and did have to go chase that sheep down.
Oh, or maybe the crewman's wife. Time. Maybe some poor. We all have our own gate story. Go ahead, Eliza.
I wanted to give them props, though, because one thing that was sort of amazingly accurate, and this is always the thing when you're watching something you know something about, like, it's hard not to notice the inaccuracy.
Yeah.
But my husband and I were very impressed that there's a scene where he has to pull a calf. And when the calf actually comes out, like, it's definitely a newborn calf. And they show it, like, standing up for the first time. And it's like, wow, that is amazing, because it really was very accurate. And one of the things James Harriet does is stick a little piece of straw in the calf's nose, because that's makes them sneeze, and then the amniotic fluid will come out so they can breathe better. And my husband always does that when, you know, if he has to pull a calf or whatever. And so he was like, wow, I thought that was kind of my thing. I didn't know that everyone knew about that. So he was surprising me, and like, you know, also gave them the nod, like, that's some good research there, guys, to know so, that.
Somebody detail. Got that right. Not the same person who handled the gate, though. All right. Yeah, tune into the highly anticipated 7-part series. It's All Creatures Great and Small. It's on a Masterpiece PBS, SDPB TV, Sundays at 8 Central, 7 Mountain. Eliza, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Of course.
Heather, thank you as well. And readers of the SDPB magazine should look at the January issue for a piece written by Heather Benson and pictures of her farm as well. Thanks, Heather.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break, and on the way to break, though, here is Eliza Blue singing the hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful.
All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings, tiny wings.
Yeah.
The purple-headed mountains, the river running by, the sunset and the morning that brightens up the sky. Things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. The cold wind in the winter, pleasant summer sun, the ripe fruits in the garden, He made them everyone. The tall trees in the greenwood, the meadows bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Thank you.